Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, on this day you open the hearts of your faithful people by sending into us your Holy Spirit. Direct us by the light of that Spirit, that we might have right judgment in all things and rejoice at all times in your peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
A reading from Acts. When the day of Pentecost had come, the apostles were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 104 responsively. How manifold are your works, O Lord! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There go the ships to and fro, and Leviathan, which you made for the sport of it.
All of them go to you, to give them their food in due season.
You give it to them, they gather it. You open your hand, and they are filled with good things.
When you
send forth your spirit, and they are created, and so you renew the face of the earth. You look at the earth and it trembles. You touch the mountains and they smoke.
I will sing.
These words of mine please God. I will rejoice in the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
A reading from 1 Corinthians. No one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discernment of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to John. On the last day of the Festival of Booths, the great day, while Jesus was standing in the temple, he cried out, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. As the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." Now he said this about the Spirit, which believers in him were to receive. For as yet there was no Spirit, because Jesus was not yet glorified. The Gospel of the Lord.
On the way to the hospital the other day, I noticed that big highway sign that they have for amber alerts and for traffic warnings. And it said, "Severe drought, conserve water." And I've been noticing those kind of public service announcements, not only on the highway, but also on the radio. I hear "Be water wise," and reminders of conserving water. And then Friday night, I attended the Peninsula Singers concert over in Liberty Station at North Chapel. Pews are really hard, but the music was delightful. When they put that program together, they must have been thinking about water too. At least half the songs had a water theme. "Cross the Wide Missouri," "Peace Like a River," "Boatman Stomp," "At the River," "River of Dreams," and "Old Man River." That was a perfect program for me as I sat on those hard pews thinking about Pentecost sermon and the gospel that we just heard. Jesus is in Jerusalem for the Feast of Booths, or the Feast of Tabernacles, as it's sometimes called. This feast is 7 days long, and the purpose of this feast is to commemorate that event from the history of the Hebrew people when they were in the wilderness complaining about being thirsty, that desert wilderness, and Moses took his staff and hit the rock, and water gushed out, according to God's plan. They were complaining, and God provided that miraculous stream of water. And this Feast of Booths, or tents, or tabernacle, the Hebrew people would go to Jerusalem and live in a tent to remember their wilderness days. They would, and every day for that 7 days, the priest would take the holy pitcher, or the ewer, and go to the Pool of Siloam, which is in the middle of the city. You may have heard that pool, that name before. That's where Jesus put the mud on the blind man's eye, and then he sent him to wash in the Pool of Siloam. This is a pool that is formed around a natural spring that comes into the city, and it gushes up. It's a natural spring there. And every day, the priest, during the Festival of Booths, would go to this pool of Siloam and scoop out a pitcher of water and go back to the temple, and in front of everybody would pour that water out on a rock in the middle of the temple and remind the people of God's care and providence, God's love, reminding the people of what Moses did in the wilderness and what God does in their lives every day. They would remember what happened to their ancestors and give thanks to God and for God's care and protection. Well, John the Evangelist tells us about Jesus being at that festival. And it says that on the final day, so Jesus has been seeing this water pour out for 7 days, 6 days. And on the seventh day, he can't stand it anymore. He just shouts out, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me. Let him drink of the water that I will provide, the Holy Spirit. If anyone believes in me, the Holy Spirit will, like the prophet Joel said, the Holy Spirit will bubble up inside, come out of their hearts." The Greek word that is used in that passage isn't heart, you know, like here, but it's heart, like your core, your guts, your inner self, that you're so filled with the Holy Spirit that it'll just burst out of you. Jesus shouts this out at the temple when the people are remembering all the good things that God had done for them, reminding themselves of the activity of God in their lives. And Jesus says, "But there's more to come. Don't just look back. There's more to come. The Spirit will come upon you. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me. Let anyone who believes in me drink. When the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you, out of your heart will flow living water." Jesus sees the severe drought, and he offers relief. Not a water conservation program, but Jesus promises living water, abundant springs, life-giving water, lavish, plentiful, never-ending flow of life-giving water. Well, like the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of Booths, that reminds the people, gives the opportunity to the Hebrew people to recall God's providence with water from the rock, Pentecost is an opportunity for us to recall God's providence in giving us the life-giving Spirit through Jesus Christ. Pentecost is a reminder that the Holy Spirit comes into our lives and into our hearts. Pentecost is a reminder that our hearts are overflowing with the love of God, with the living water. Like the woman at the well in Samaria, we ask, "Where can I get this living water? What is this living water? How is it to flow and overflow in our hearts?" Well, the simple answer is that the living water is the Spirit of God, the love of God, God's compassion and tenderness, God's kindness and mercy and gentleness, God's totally inclusive, all our welcome love for all people. That is the Holy Spirit of God that is flowing out of you and me. That is the fullness of the Spirit that we recall on this Pentecost day. Imagine your heart like a big cup filled to brimming with luscious, wonderful, icy cold water. And you're dying for a drink. That is the love, the living love of God. The Holy Spirit's compassion and mercy, the Spirit of kindness and love. As you live your Christian life, that cup of living water begins to tilt and overflow. It begins to flow out endlessly in a never-ending supply, never running out, never having a limit. Jesus says, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me." When the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you, out of your heart shall flow rivers of living water. This is the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of Jesus, the never-ending supply of God's love. It's not our love, but it's God's love living inside of us. There's a severe drought for so many people, a drought, a thirsting, a deep yearning, and we, the baptized children of God, we who have been washed in the water of that sacrament, we are the conduits of God's Holy Spirit, the living water that Jesus has given to us. We are to live our Christian lives dripping wet, reminding ourselves and getting others wet too with that love of God. This is all figurative, right? Y'all get that? I'm not really talking about, you know, wasting water. I'm all for conservation, but I am not for conserving the life-giving water of Jesus Christ in the Holy Spirit. When I was in Hawaii last month, I took an adventure ride on an inner tube down a mountain. After being issued miners' helmets with lights on them, we were driven in a jeep up a very washboardy, wasn't really a road, up this mountain, and we were ceremoniously dumped into the river with an inner tube. Not into a river. It's a drainage ditch. It's an irrigation ditch, a canal. These canals were hand-chiseled out in this old sugar cane plantation to bring the mountain stream, the runoff, the stream from the top of the mountain, to bring it down into the to the sugar cane fields. These this was a 4 mile long chiseled out of the mountain. You could still see the marks of the pickaxe of the people who had done that work in the early mid to 1800s. It was great fun. A little bit scary going through the tunnels, 5 tunnels, 3/4 of a mile long, in the dark, with my helmet light on, so I could see where the walls were. You just go on the current. You don't have to do anything. You just sit there and duck down when it's low. It was wonderful. And it made me think about the amount of work that was expended to channel that mountain stream. The amount of work that went into just making sure that that water got to the right places. And it made me think today on Pentecost, how willing am I to work to channel the living spring of God's love of the Holy Spirit that Jesus has promised to fill me? How much work am I willing to do to channel that to where it needs to be? Do I use more energy building dams, deciding who is most deserving, or thinking up spirit conservation programs? Or am I letting the Holy Spirit freely living out that Spirit so abundantly for God, as God has promised? Do I live in that water in such a way that it flows to the right places, abundant life of Jesus Christ? Wherever that irrigation ditch flowed in Hawaii, there were lush green fields. You could just see it on the sides of that irrigation canal. That's true with the Holy Spirit as well. Today on Pentecost, this great feast day of the church, we remember that great outpouring of the Holy Spirit when the fountains of God were turned on with the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, where the waters of God came gushing forth, no small trickle, a mighty river suddenly flowing out. The apostles gathered in that upper room. If we read on in the reading that Brenda did this morning, the next line says, after Peter starts his preaching, 3,000 people were baptized that day. That's a lot of people. That's a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The church was born of the lush green fields of God's Holy Spirit. Lord, turn on our fountains. Open up the faucets full force. Let that Holy Spirit flow into us and through us. Make our fields lush and green. Make us into flowing fountains. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you, out of your hearts will flow rivers of living water. Not a little sprinkle, but rivers of living water. That's Jesus' promise to you and to me. And we are reminded of that promise today. And may it be true. May it be so for all of us.